It's the sort of question you might hear at a dinner party attended solely by movie buffs. What was the greatest year in the history of cinema? A lot of film scholars would tell you the gold standard is 1939, when The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Stagecoach, Only Angels Have Wings, Young Mr. Lincoln, and Ninotchka entered the canon. Not too shabby. Hi, I'm Nathan Weinbender, and on this week's Movies 101, Mary Pat Truthart, Dan Webster, and I will be answering that surprisingly difficult question ourselves. So don't touch that dial, because a superlative cinematic edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Kerry Boyce, GM of Spokane Public Radio. You've probably noticed that the world is getting smaller. Events and actions across the state, nation, and world impact our news, our lives, and our very future. Spokane Public Radio pays a high price to bring you the news, cultural programs, and the best possible radio, so you know what's going on, so that our citizens and our decisions are well informed. For us, this mission is a public trust, and you have our pledge to make the best of that trust and the resources you place with us. If you pledged before, thank you. And if you haven't, there is no better time than right now.
Hi, I'm Nathan Weinbender, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Dan Webster, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and a blogger for Spokane7.com.
And welcome to Movies 101. As you'd know if you stepped outside for about half a second, we're smack dab in the middle of February, when new film releases aren't exactly at their peak. Rather than suffer through current Cineplex fare, we decided on this change of pace show that was inspired by a recent Washington Post article succinctly called What Was the Best Year in Movie History? It obviously got us thinking, and we've each selected 2 years that we would argue produced the best cinematic output. Now, whatever this question comes up, 1939 is the most popular answer. But how about 1955, which gave us two iconic James Dean performances in Rebel Without a Cause and East of Eden, an all-time horror classic in The Night of the Hunter, and Douglas Sirk reaching the top of his form with All That Heaven Allows, or 1974, when Mel Brooks released both Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein, and Chinatown and The Conversation tapped into Vietnam and Nixon-era anxieties. Well, none of those years are among our choices. In fact, we sort of decided that we'd just go ahead and make 39 ineligible, since it's been discussed so many times before. So let's kick it off. And I just want to say, before we get into this, and I'm going to throw it to Dan first, this was unbelievably difficult. You kind of forget, in the grand scheme of things, how many great movies all came out sort of within a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And just picking two was a nearly impossible task, but no. We did it anyway because we're professionals.
Here. Yeah, exactly, and because we had deadlines. So,
I'm
going to go back and do a shout out to 39. It, as you say, it's always held as the gold standard. And geez, you know, some of the ones you didn't even mention. How about Destry Rides Again? James Stewart, Marlene Dietrich, Young Mr. Lincoln, Henry Fonda. Before Henry Fonda became Henry Fonda, I mean, Of Mice and Men with Burgess Meredith and Lon Chaney Jr. There were so many movies that came out that year. I wanted to start, though. I chose 1969. And although it's not an amazing year in terms of classic films forever, I argue that it's got some really terrific movies. How about Anne of the Thousand Days with Richard Burton? He was nominated the last time for Best Actor. He never won. Alice's Restaurant, Arthur Penn's magnificent rendition of that Arlo Guthrie song, which starts off all nice and loose and then, as the latter part of the 60s began to show, it becomes a very dark study of America in that alternative atmosphere. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Easy Rider, Midnight Cowboy, John Schlesinger's superb film with Dustin Hoffman and John Voight, both of whom were nominated for Academy Awards, The Prime of Miss Jean Brody, Marcel Ophüls' four-hour study of French occupation during World War II, The Sorrow and the Pity, that documentary, Jane Fonda in They Shoot Horses, Don't They? She was nominated for an Academy Award, and she would win the very next year for Clute, but she didn't win it this year. True Grit, the original Henry Hathaway one, the one that won John Wayne his Soul Academy Award, The Wild Bunch, Sam Peckinpah, Z, the Costa Gavras film, which won the Best Foreign Language Oscar, Women in Love, which strangely enough was released in the UK in 1970, in the US in 1971, but still it has a 1970 pedigree. Woody Allen's Take the Money and Run, Barbara Streisand in Hello, Dolly, and Michael Caine in The Italian Job.
Well, you lost me at Hello, Dolly.
I'm sorry. It Barbara Streisand. It was the beginning of Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
So, but
I thought that was wasn't that funny, girl?
69 was a terrific year. For me, the 70s is the greatest decade of film, and 69 ushered us into that. The very next year, oh my God, we had Scorsese and the birth of all the great Spielbergs, Scorsese, De Palma, all the great Coppola, all the great American filmmakers worked in the 70s. And so 69 was the way to usher us into that.
Well, I think we're going to jump way ahead now with Mary Pat's first choice for greatest movie year. What do you got?
Well, the thing is, I was in school continuously during the 1970s, so my film appreciation is a little lean in those years, and so I'm behind you guys in a variety of respects, but that would be one. Before I give my list, I want to correct a misconception, though. You talked about this was something that you might hear at a dinner party, as though we attend dinner parties and as though
that
this
we
was
get
a
invited.
Conversation. Right, and let's be frank about where this conversation took place, at the baby bar.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
that's
let's
true.
Let's
after
speak.
The, after a film festival.
Right,
though.
Let's be clear about this,
yes.
Okay? So I chose, of course, 1994 because the best film of all times was showcased during that year, and that film would be Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
And so I consider that
argument
to...
over. It's just all over.
Okay, right,
Pulp
exactly.
Fiction.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, having said that, one of the films that I've liked the least, for reasons that I can't completely understand, also screened in that year, and that was Forrest Gump. And I think it was just the couple
you picked a year that had a movie you hated it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So okay. That's why it's so memorable.
Okay.
That's why this whole...
I have anecdotes that I cannot tell on the air about Mary Pat's experience in that movie, Forrest Gump.
Right. And the other reason why I liked 1994, from my perspective, there were these little films that made a huge impression on me during that year. So Kevin Smith's Clerks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a classic, I think, in terms of sort of this mumblecore, do-nothing, hanging around sort of movie. And then we know that his career, which has had some ups and downs, went on to establish him as, you know, a legit filmmaker when that wasn't 100% clear at the time this movie screened. There were other smaller films. Once Were Warriors is this New Zealand film about domestic violence that just blew me away when I saw that at the old Magic Lantern. Heavenly Creatures, which is an early Kate Winslet film about a homicide that was committed by teenage girls in Australia.
And directed by Peter Jackson.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the films from that particular year. But then there were like The Shawshank Redemption, which I think is a classic by anyone's standards. But then there were some other quirky movies, Dumb and Dumber. I think Natural Born Killers, Four Weddings and a Funeral. How about Jackie Chan, The Legend of Drunken Master?
Ooh.
And then we had, a Coen Brothers movie that I think is sort of underrated. Others might disagree. The Hudsucker Proxy came out in that year. And then finally, we had Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which I think, is notable for a variety of reasons. And then one more.
Okay.
The Lion King.
Oh, yeah. I saw that at a drive-in.
Oh, with the parents?
Yeah, when I was a little boy.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to quibble with 94 as one of the great cinematic years. I mean, I think that just Pulp Fiction alone, I mean, that changed so much. But a couple movies you didn't mention that I really love, Hoop Dreams, the documentary, one of the greatest documentaries ever made. Robert Redford's Quiz Show, which...
was on my list.
Okay,
yeah.
There was a period where that was on cable a lot, and I would watch it every time it was on. It's such a great film. And one of my favorite movies of all time, I think it's Tim Burton's best film, and that's Ed Wood, about, supposedly the worst filmmaker to ever live. Just a great movie. Now, I'm going to jump us back in time, so we're going back closer to one of Dan's years, because this is sort of where my heart lies in terms of movies. The year that I picked as one of the greatest film years of all time, this was not one I was anticipating until I started looking into what actually came out, and that's 1973. And just looking at the mainstream films that came out, it's pretty stunning. I mean, The Exorcist came out at the end of 1973, became a phenomenon, one of the highest grossing films of all time at that point. And it's still kind of shocking that that movie had, you know, basically a mainstream influence, was one of the first horror films, if not the first horror film, nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. But you also have...
Friedkin was a major filmmaker.
He absolutely was. And that was coming right off of The French Connection. You have Badlands, Terrence Malick's first film with Sissy Spacek and Martin Sheen. Don't Look Now by the late Nicholas Roeg, one of my all-time favorite horror movies. Martin Scorsese kind of blew onto the scene, even though he'd had a few movies before this. But Mean Streets came out in 1973. And then you also have Peter Bogdanovich with Paper Moon. George Lucas with his first breakout, American Graffiti, was also that year. The Last Detail, the Hal Ashby film, one of the best Jack Nicholson performances. Those are all in 1973. And then just looking at the foreign films, you've got Federico Fellini with Amarcord, Francois Truffaut with Day for Night, Ingmar Bergman with Scenes from a Marriage, which, those are all masterpieces. And then the Spanish film, Spirit of the Beehive, about a little girl that becomes fascinated with the film Frankenstein. And then even looking at the Oscars, of all those movies, all of which are pretty edgy and tough, the movie that won Best Picture that year at the Oscars was The Sting. That was the 1973 film that won Best Picture. And even though I wouldn't give it that over pretty much any of those movies I just named, that's still a really good movie and sort of a throwback to the kind of films that they weren't making at the time.
Yeah, it was basically the follow-up to Butch Cassidy.
Right.
With Redford and Newman.
And I would say even better than Butch Cassidy. But
there's a good argument right there.
Right? So, I mean, obviously we're getting into sort of the heart of New Hollywood here, but that's my choice. And I think we'll be talking about more New Hollywood when we come back, because it is time for us to take a break. But before we go, let me remind you that past episodes of Movies 101 are available as podcasts at SpokanePublicRadio.org, alongside the weekly reviews by Dan and myself. When we return, we'll continue our deep dive into the years that made the movies great. You're listening to Movies 101 right here on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Nathan Weinbender. During the first half of the show, Dan Webster, Mary Pat Truthart, and I were discussing our favorite individual years in film history. We've already tackled 1969, 1973, and 1994, but let's see what else we've got. Dan, take us back in time in the Wayback Machine here.
Well, I was going to follow my self-professed love affair for the 1970s by choosing the year 1976. And with movies such as All the President's Men, Carrie, Marathon Man, Network, Rocky, Taxi Driver, 1900, including In the Realm of the Senses, why would I not pick 1976? Well, that's because I didn't want to seem like your typical baby boomer, and I wanted to look at the 21st century and say, well, are there any good years there? So I chose 2007, and why not? No Country for Old Men, the Coen brothers, which won them an Academy Award, both Ethan and Joel, and Javier Bardem as the Best Supporting Actor. One of the great filmmakers of our time, P.T. Anderson, directed, I think, his great film, There Will Be Blood, which didn't win him an Academy Award, directing award, because it went to the Coens, but it won Daniel Day-Lewis his second Best Actor Award.
Honestly, you could stop there and you'd have a pretty good argument for 2007.
Yes. All right. But then we have Eastern Promises, David Cronenberg's weird little film with Viggo Mortensen and Naomi Watts, and it's Mortensen's, I believe, his greatest role.
Agreed.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, the French language film with Julian Schnabel. Into the Wild, Sean Penn's film about the real life story of the kid who went off into the wild someplace, played by Emile Hirsch. One of my favorite musical films of all times, music films, not musicals, Once, the great duo of Glenn Hansard and Marquette Erglova, which won the best song Oscar, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, Andrew Dominik's film, which is moody and atmospheric and wonderfully acted, particularly by Casey Affleck and Brad Pitt. Atonement, the movie that introduced us to Joe Wright, and it was such a great movie.
And Saoirse Ronan.
And Saoirse Ronan, but also Keira Knightley and James McAvoy. But Saoirse Ronan stole the movie, basically. Zodiac.
David Fincher's movie. Dan, if you hadn't mentioned Zodiac in your discussion of 2007, I would have quit the show right here.
Terrific, terrific movie. The Romanian film, 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. Or the Iranian film, Offside, Jafar Panahi's film about young women trying to get into a soccer stadium that's filled with men. And other movies, Gone Baby Gone, Ben Affleck's movie with Casey Affleck. Persepolis, based on the graphic novel by Marjane Satrapi. Superbad. We can't not mention Superbad. And Ratatouille. And Michael Clayton, which won, for which Tom Wilkinson was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And La Vie en Rose, which won Marianne Cotillard the Best Actress Oscar. So I have forsaken the 70s for the 21st century. 2007 was a great year.
Well, I consider 2007 also. I think that comes up in the conversation a lot when that question of what's the best movie year comes up. And I think it probably is, without question, the best 21st century year. So I'll agree with you on that. But Mary Pat, I think we're going back to the 20th century, aren't we?
I guess I'm stuck in the 90s,
what can I say?
And I think when you hear some of the films that screened in 1999, you will agree with me that it was a very good year.
I was skeptical when you mentioned 1999, but then you proved me not skeptical anymore.
I have a
now
list
prove it
that
to the
is
radio
so,
audience, Mary Pat.
So lengthy. Okay, so here are some of the big movies introduced to us in 1999. Now, granted, maybe not all of them play out quite as well today, like such as the first one I'm going to name, American Beauty, because now we associate that with one of its leads, Kevin Spacey, who has been disgraced and dishonored. But in addition to American Beauty, Green Mile.
Good one.
The Matrix.
Haven't heard of it.
Keanu.
I mean, that's got to be the most influential film of that year, probably.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Seriously. The Sixth Sense, Shyamalan's film that sort of kicks everything off and has still some of the great, one of the great movie lines of all times in it. Nathan, I know you're going to approve of this one, Magnolia.
My love of Magnolia knows no bounds.
Second,
correct.
A reference to P.T. Anderson.
Correct.
Right. Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, even if you didn't like Fight Club, What Happens at Fight Club has also spawned one of the great cultural lines of all times. And even when films are not that good, they're still good. And I'm talking about Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, which was a disaster on one level, but intriguing on another. And finally, what might be the scariest movie that I've ever seen, a Japanese film called Audition, which is without a doubt way, way over the top. Now, that's just some of the influential films. But if you look at two of my favorite kiddie films, Toy Story 2 and Iron Giant, 1999. If you look at two amazing documentaries, Buena Vista Social Club and One Day in September about the Israeli Olympics.
1972
horror.
Olympics.
Yes, exactly. And if we look at sort of comedic offerings, the thing that finally turned me on to South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut.
Office, you didn't want to see that movie.
I didn't.
And when you did see it, you laughed and laughed.
It's very funny.
Office Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which certainly is iconic. I could
watch that over and over.
Right.
Yes, we need that TPS report.
Yeah, that's right.
Then 10 Things I Hate About You, which introduced us to Heath Ledger. American Pie.
Wow.
And Election, which is one of the most sardonic sort of portrayals of high school life that I remember seeing.
And that was just what Reese Witherspoon, that was when she was still just in that middle school years of her career.
As Tracy Flick, which I think is one of the great comedic performances of the last 20 years. I love Election.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could go on and on because, you know, there are silly films like Deep Blue Sea, which, you know, we always reference as
Samuel L. Jackson trying to figure out
who's going to get killed. Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman. I think that there were talented Mr. Ripley,
oh, yeah.
Topsy Turvy, Mike Leigh's film.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so Gilbert I really think that, you know, I was skeptical too because I picked 94 thinking it was the best. And then when I actually started going through these films, the variety of films that opened that particular year. So you had some of the top films, like sort of mainstream, if you call Magnolia a mainstream movie. I'm not sure I would, but certainly.
A Rain of Frogs is not mainstream?
Right, exactly. But I think that all in all, the diversity in the different genres really makes this a standout year.
You also didn't mention The Blair Witch Project, which was a sensation and another hugely influential film.
I agree.
Alongside
some
of the other ones you mentioned.
About that.
I was waiting for that one. Okay, I'm going back a little bit further again to 1982 as my second choice as one of the great movie years of all time. And this fact alone made me decide that this was going to be it. Two of the greatest genre films ever made, Blade Runner and The Thing, came out on the same day in 1982, in the summer of 1982, to mediocre reviews and mediocre box office receipts, and have gone on to become two of the most influential and beloved sci-fi horror films, respectively. So kicking that off right there, you can't really top that. In terms of the other big budget, high-grossing films of 82, you have one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial, which when it came out in 82 became the highest-grossing film of all time and was there, I believe, until Spielberg knocked himself off the perch with Jurassic Park in 1993. Spielberg was also heavily involved in Poltergeist, which also came out in the summer of 1982. All four of those movies came out within months of one another. I mean, that's crazy right there. Of course, it was directed by Tobe Hooper, but a lot of people think that Spielberg was actually the main author of that film. Going on from there, one of my all-time favorite comedies came out in 1982, and that would be Tootsie. I still think that is one of the, you know, one of the blueprints of modern comedy, just one of the great screwball farces of all time. And also, maybe my favorite Paul Newman performance came out that year, and that's in The Verdict by Sidney Lumet, which I think is a stunning film.
Right, and it's a much better performance than what he did in The Color of Money,
which won him the Oscar. Right.
And okay, so my question is, so 1939, we took off the table, and none of us were alive then. But Nathan, you picked two years where you did not see these films as a real human being.
It
in
is
the
true.
World. So, but continue.
But I'll keep going.
I'm impressed with your ability to go back and ferret.
Well, thank you so much. Wikipedia helped a lot, I have to say. Going back in 1982 with some more mainstream films, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, An Officer and a Gentleman, which I think holds up beautifully.
Yeah.
The best Star Trek movie, The Wrath of Khan, came out in the summer of 1982.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yes, Pink Floyd, The Wall, the music film. Diner, the Barry Levinson comedy, that great ensemble comedy. To bring it down a little bit, Sophie's Choice came out in 1982. A huge bummer of a movie, but a great Meryl Streep performance.
Exactly.
Maybe the best work that she's ever done in a film. In terms of foreign films, I think there are some titans here because 1982 also gave us Wolfgang Petersen's Das Boot, which is one of the great war films.
One of the most claustrophobic films ever.
Bergman, again, Ingmar Bergman, I mentioned him in 73. He put out Fanny and Alexander in 1982, his great epic. And also Werner Herzog's Fitzcarraldo, in which Klaus Kinski dragged an entire boat over a mountain in order to build an opera house in the middle of the jungle. And they really drug that boat over the mountain. So... oh, ironically, my favorite year also came out in 1982 with Peter O'Toole, speaking of. I think we all made pretty compelling arguments, and hopefully we've put some movies on people's radar for rental ideas and streaming
ideas. So when they have their dinner parties, they can talk about these things.
Exactly. And that was your weekly dinner party with the cast of Movies 101, where we've been discussing our favorite years in the world of cinema. Before we go, I'd like to thank Jim Tevenin for producing and engineering the show, and to our loyal listeners for tuning in every week. We'll be back again next week, same time and spot on the radio dial, with our takes on some new movies hitting theaters. Until then, remember these words from The Wizard of Oz, which came out in that great movie year of 1939. Anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. You're listening to Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.